You are listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. This is RMU Chat. Ben Cole, Hannah Smith, Eddie Sheehy, Zach Laufer. We will have somebody in the corner at some point today. We can't tell you who it is yet because, well, that's kind of a surprise. We have somebody that might be new that's going to be sitting in the corner.
We found a... Oh, hold on, I'm not on.
Yes, you are.
Am I? I can't hear myself.
Well, that's a problem.
That's weird. Well, we found our intern. We found a new intern. That's all I wanted to say.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
I can't hear anybody.
This is weird.
Okay.
I'm going to take my headphones off. I mean, it's not a big deal. Oh, Hannah went deaf there. Welcome to RMU Chat.
I think you just turned up mine.
Oh, now I'm really loud. Okay, now I can hear it.
We are back in business.
Now that I've made Hannah go deaf, Hannah's actually going to start our first segment. We had Saudi...
I just didn't want you to do it.
Oh, my God.
Easy, Tiger. Whatever. Easy. Whatever. We had Saudi National Day last week, which was a massive event on campus.
Yes.
You had the opportunity to go. Can you tell us a little bit about what...
Hold on. Can I start with a legitimate question that I've always wondered? Is it Saudi or Saudi? Because you just said Saudi, but I would say Saudi.
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm honestly not
Saudi.
Sure.
Yeah,
I'm
I really have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's Saudi.
Saudi.
Okay.
Because it's Saudi Arabia.
Well, I would say Saudi Arabia.
All right,
I'm just wondering.
I think we're going potato-potato here.
Maybe.
It might be potato-potato.
I don't know. I just didn't know if there was an answer to that.
Yeah.
Continue to vote.
Well, regardless, Hannah, you went to...
You're probably right.
You went to the National Saudi Day.
Yes,
what was it like?
It was a lot of fun. I actually attended last year's, and I think that was the first year that they did it, and I thought it was an absolutely great idea because there is such a large Saudi population on campus, so... It actually really gets domestic students and other international students really involved in their culture. This year, I actually got to dress up in the type of clothing they wear. I'm not going to try and pronounce it because I will pronounce it wrong.
Okay.
And everything, and I don't want to offend anybody by doing that. But it was actually really interesting. I learned a lot. I tried different food. I tried Arabic coffee. It was a really great experience.
So is there anything that you can take away from it that you can kind of do in your everyday life? Are you going to try to make some of the foods in your place? Are you going to drink Saudi coffee a little bit more now? It is National Coffee Day, so.
It is. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a huge coffee fan. And their coffee actually puts me in mind of more like a tea. But not a tea. But it really doesn't taste like coffee to me at all.
So a coffee.
No.
Okay.
You said, wait. You said it's a coffee.
But a tea.
But a tea.
But it's not like a tea.
But it doesn't taste like a tea.
Yeah.
So I'm confused as to what it tastes like.
It's a coffee.
It's different. You definitely just have to try it.
What's it made out of?
I know there's milk in it. It has to sit for a while. I think they had to, like, boil it at some point for, like, the water they use for it for a certain amount of time. I was kind of confused on that.
I'll just throw this out there. That sounds not good to me.
It's a cappuccino.
A cappuccino.
Milk, boiling water, like, and coffee flavoring is a cappuccino.
It sounds really interesting.
Well, it definitely did not taste like a cappuccino either. It's just something different. You'd have to try it.
Apparently there's tea in there somewhere, too.
Or, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, all right, well, yeah.
Interesting.
Did anybody go get free coffee this morning? I did. On my way to work.
Wait, what do you mean?
It's free coffee day. You go to, like, Sheets. It was, like, Sheets.
Dunkin' Donuts.
And there was one more place around here that was giving out free coffee. I just thought I was special because I, like, went to Sheets this morning to get my coffee at 3 a.m. and the guy didn't charge me for it. And I was like, oh, man, I'm getting away with something here. And I didn't mention it. And then I got to work and everybody was like, yeah, it's free coffee day. And I was like, oh, I thought it was special.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
One bringing it back to, you know, the fact that we do have a big international presence on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It has been declining, or at least it declined from last year to this year. Hannah, can you give us some numbers as to where it is right now or where it was?
Yeah. Okay. So currently there are 529 international students at RMU.
Okay.
Now, there are 499 Saudi students at RMU. So just take that into perspective of the population, because then you also have your next biggest international base of Canadians, and they're all here playing sports and everything. So
yes.
You're running with maybe about, I'm going to guess, 10 just international students that are studying here, like I've chosen RMU, which is kind of like really small.
Yeah.
And everything. It's not a very diverse population.
Okay,
you could
but
say.
It's still really good to say that we do have a big Saudi.
Yes. There's at least over about 10% international students.
And that's that for a lot of campuses, that's a really good number.
Yes, it's above the national average. The national average is about 4 or 5%.
Yeah. So it's declining. Why is it declining?
It has to do with the Saudi students. They are eligible for a scholarship that was established in 2005, I believe, by their late King Abdullah and George W. Bush. They worked together to bring more Saudi students to the U.S. And so the kind of the hub that works with it here in the U.S. is the Saudi Arabian Cultural Mission.
Okay.
And at schools, there's like caps of how many like particular students can be enrolled in a certain major program. And for undergraduate, it's about 25 students. And at the graduate level, it's about 10.
Okay.
Now, RMU is exceeding in some of those caps. So they've also come to realize that, but they've also let that kind of continue, which I talked to the international admissions recruiter, and she said it's because she believes they do so well here that they're allowing this, because they can cut off an entire institution from enrolling any more Saudi students if they'd like to.
Yeah.
And everything, which has happened, but what they've done, they've just cut it off by major. Students, like Saudi students, can no longer enroll in any of the engineering programs here at RMU.
Hmm.
Until some of them at least graduate or perhaps change a major. They've also started cutting off like the second biggest like enrollment area of computer information systems, that type of stuff.
Yeah, that's really cool that we have almost 500 Saudi students coming from this program. I can only imagine how many there are over at Pitt and how many there are over at CMU. I think it's really cool that we've got a really good number of them. With the new president coming in, is this something that we could have more of an initiative with? Do you think we could possibly go see if we can have others have students from other countries, not necessarily just Saudi Arabia, but you know, his wife is from South Africa. There's got to be some students that are looking for some education in South Africa.
Yeah, I know for sure admissions doesn't want to see the numbers decline, and they also want to get a more diverse. They said that they're definitely going to start looking into Asian countries. That's where they would really like to start recruiting from, especially since China is the number one basically sender of international students to the U.S.
Right.
And then the largest city is Seoul, South Korea.
Yes.
And so they're really targeting that area a lot. And plus, they're trying to diversify with Europe, other countries in the Middle East, Africa, because I know Nigeria is one of the bigger ones that they actually get students from in Africa, and then also South America.
I think it'd be really interesting to see how we can market RMU to the Asian contingency, because you go on Carnegie Mellon's campus,
yes,
and there are a lot of Asian students. I'm very curious as to what we're going to do to try to bring them here as opposed to going to CMU.
Yeah, I guess like the biggest thing there is that most Chinese students are looking for bigger name schools, like with large accreditations, you know, like CMU and Pitt and everything. So it's more, they've started doing this like name buys thing where they, like any student that takes a standardized test, they can basically email blast those students. And they actually just got, whenever I talked to the international recruiter, they just got their like first inquiry from, I believe, Asia, somewhere in Southeast Asia.
That's great.
And everything. So it's actually starting to work, which is really good, because they just, like, I guess, blasted all sorts of students that they got over in the Asian school areas.
Well, that's really cool that it's already starting to, yes, you know, the proverbial ball is already getting to roll. Mm-hmm. I'll be curious to see whenever they start coming.
Oh, I will be too, because that's definitely something that they're trying to combat, because they don't want to see it go down too much, because we do have such a large,
right,
population of international students and everything. And the Saudi enrollment, it is not, I don't think it's going to like go down like devastatingly.
We're not going to lose 499 students
overnight.
There's
no way, because it's just going to, I think, take some time until maybe some students get out of the STEM programs, because that's basically what they come to RMU for. So they're looking at other schools where the Saudi Arabian Cultural Mission still allows them to go. So I think once they maybe open those back up, they'll start coming back in again.
Do you think whenever you guys study abroad, like I know you went to Ireland, Eddie went to Ireland, is there a way that RMU could possibly partner with schools in other countries to possibly do like an exchange type thing?
They already do that.
We already do that?
Yes.
Okay.
They're even looking to, I think, expand that more, because I think they have about 20 exchange schools right now, where we currently, I think we have 3 students abroad right now, and we have 6 studying here with partner schools.
Okay.
And everything, but I guess there's a good bit that aren't even being used at all, like partners, so they're thinking about trying new schools that meets more of the RMU student needs.
All right. I think that's going to be really cool.
I think it will be too.
We're going to take a quick break. Whenever we come back, Eddie has combed over the new list for what is going to be coming onto Netflix in October and what's going to be coming off. I briefly looked at it. I'm kind of excited about certain things, but I know Eddie's going to be more excited about it. And there is a new host of The Daily Show, Trevor Noah, premiered last night. Mm-hmm. New look, same great taste, I'd say.
Agreed.
But
we'll talk
a little bit more about that. You're listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
RMU Radio, your award-winning station. 2015 Intercollegiate Broadcasting System's Best Specialty Show finalist comment.
لكن في سؤال عندي الآن، هل تعتقد الممثل لابد أن يكون يعني إنسان متوسع في أفكاره؟
In 2015 Best News Interview finalist Ben Cole with Scott Erlbacher.
Let's put you in West Virginia and running their Greek life. If this happened under your watch, what would you have done?
Society for Collegiate Journalists, first place internet radio overall excellence.
You are tuned into Underground Hits.
Welcome to Out of My Element.
This is Colonial Talk.
Sports Talk in the Berg.
Welcome to Literature Out Loud.
RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
This is Joe Hale, television engineer at the Academic Media Center at Robert Morris University. You are listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
This is Don Malisi, and you're listening to me.
And I broke the rule. I broke the rule. Because we left the speakers on.
That's okay.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yep.
It's all right.
Yep.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
My heart is beating a lot faster than normal, but it's all right.
Just making sure everybody's alive.
We are.
Oh, my goodness.
Well.
That was quite the song, though.
Yeah.
My goodness. Hot damn.
You're listening to RMU Chat and RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. Ben Cole, Hannah Smith, Eddie Sheehy, Zach Laufer. Jake Hartsfeld is actually here and in the corner.
In the corner.
And in the corner.
Jared in the corner.
No. I made that mistake. I made that mistake once.
And you will never be able to forget it.
I will never do it again.
You'll never be able to forget it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm not sure if it's the coffee that's making my heart in my throat or if I'm still reeling from the feedback.
The feedback. That was pretty terrifying.
I think it's the feedback. I'm looking forward to going back and listening to this and hearing...
Terrifying.
Hearing the shriek.
How it, like, probably just spiked. That's all right.
Yes.
It happens.
That's all
right. It happens.
It happens. One thing that happens every month is we do get a new list of what's coming and going on Netflix.
Exceptional segue. Exceptional.
That's what I'm here for.
Good transition.
That's what I'm here for.
And you're right. Every month we get a brand new list of about 100 or so things that Netflix will be bringing to your small screens with your easy $8.99 a month subscription fee.
Yeah, easy.
We already talked about.
I know
the benefits of streaming.
I know
that was last week's topic.
Yes. So Zach, your assignment is you need to go find somebody that has Netflix.
I have my own Netflix account.
Okay, good.
And I did sign up for a free 30-month trial of HBO
30
Now.
Day.
Oh yeah, not 30-month, 30-day.
30 months.
Say that's a long.
That's a 3-year trial.
I can say it clear words. That's a good deal.
Yeah.
That's a good deal.
And I, to make this worthwhile, Eddie said I would have to watch 2 episodes of Game of Thrones per day. And so far, through 4 days, I've watched half an episode. So it's safe to say I'm behind.
He's 8 episodes behind what I told him he should be doing.
I made episodes behind schedule, so.
Okay.
He needs to pick up
the
pace.
Yeah, I need to ramp that pace up.
Really pick up the pace.
Ramp it up.
A little bit.
But
what do we got?
I was going to say, you're really going to want to pick up the pace even more so because you're also going to want to tear into some of these new Netflix releases. I always like to think October is one of the better months for Netflix releases. They always seem to put out some pretty good stuff. So if you're looking for something to watch, American Pie will be up there. Batman Begins. Boogie Nights. The... Tim Burton modernized Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Ooh.
Maybe that's
I like that one.
You
I
like
enjoyed
that?
It.
I enjoyed that.
Well, you could also watch maybe like Million Dollar Baby. That's a great movie.
Oh,
an Oscar winning
movie.
There's going to be a documentary on Robin Williams being released called Robin Williams Remembered, a Pioneer of Television. So if you're still feeling a little kind of like sentimental about Robin Williams a year after his untimely passing, you should watch that. American Horror Story Freak Show is coming back. Well, not coming back. It'll be released. So you'll be able to watch all those.
I would like to pretend that season didn't happen.
I'd like to pretend that's the best season ever other than the second season. So it's because it is. and because I love it. So that's what I'll be doing. I'll be rewatching
one
all
of
those.
You're one of few.
Hannah, for you, Rain Season 2 will be available. You like that show, don't you?
Yeah.
I thought you did. Like, you like Rain. Don't you like Rain?
Yeah, it just took a weird direction with the writers. That's why I'm not a huge fan anymore.
Took a weird direction with the writers.
Okay, forget about it.
Wait.
October 2nd's not going to be that big of a day for her anymore.
Let's put a pause on here. What is Rain about?
It is a not accurate historical drama based on Mary, Queen of Scots, and all the trials at French court.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, if you're into that kind of thing.
Historical fiction is not my interest, but
not particularly mine either. Okay. American Horror Story, as I'd mentioned. The CW's iZombie will be up. That was
that had some pretty decent reviews.
Yeah. Arrow Season 3 for fans of that. And also, there was an Avengers thing on I saw on here, but I think it was Lego Avengers. So not real Avengers, a Lego Avengers thing. And that's pretty much what you're going to want. The Bourne Supremacy also comes out later in the month on, let me see the date, October something. I don't see the date.
Wait, okay. So that's the last one in the trio of the Matt Damon ones, right?
Yeah.
Not the
And then there's the Jeremy Renner one.
Yeah, not the Jeremy Renner one. No, okay, don't worry about that. Good. So there's your Netflix roundup for the next month.
Well, what's coming off?
They haven't announced that yet.
They haven't announced what's coming off
yet. They just announced what's coming on.
Okay.
So do they take shows off every month?
Yes.
Yeah, almost every day stuff comes off.
Wow.
Almost every day stuff goes on, almost every day stuff goes off. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually about every other day, but yeah.
That's awful.
Things come off.
I don't like that.
Things go on.
I don't like that. Why would they take things off?
It's the way it happens. Also, I really wanted to mention this one. I can't believe I passed it. Walt Disney Animation Studios. Their entire short film collection is also going to be available come October 25th. I don't know why.
Ooh,
I forgot that.
That's exciting.
That was a big one.
That is wonderful.
Yes. So you'll be able to watch all of those come October 25th, right in time for Halloween. So
that's cool.
I will just watch Jerry's Game on loop.
Not Pixar.
No, but it was Pixar.
Walt Disney Animation Studios.
Oh.
It's not the Pixar shorts.
Okay.
It's the Disney animation ones,
but the Disney animation ones.
Disney animations ones are still good.
Yeah, it's not the Pixar ones.
It's not Pixar.
I know what you mean. The Pixar ones are great. Do you see the one? I'm sure you saw Inside Out with your son.
I know. No, he's not old enough for those kind of things just yet.
Well, the one before that is about two volcanoes falling in lava. It's amazing. No, it sounds so stupid, and I like. When it starts off with the singing volcano, I'm like, this is so dumb. And by the end, like, you just want to cry. It's beautiful. I don't know how they make it so awesome. So there's Netflix for you.
Cool.
Moving on to the next thing I really wanted to talk about, though, Sir Benjamin, was The Daily Show.
Yes. We have a new host after 16 years. Jon Stewart finally
hung it up. Retired. Probably going to pursue some more film side of things. You know, he went and directed his own film a year ago, 2 years ago. John Oliver took over. Now, of course, John Oliver is the host of Last Week Tonight on HBO, another incredibly great, and it's a very successful show for HBO. But they chose Trevor Noah from South Africa to be the new host of The Daily Show. Yesterday was his first day on the job. And it's really tempting immediately to be like, I didn't like him. You know, like, bring back Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart was the best. Nobody will ever be better than him. But for the first day on the job, I got to say, I think Trevor Noah nailed it.
I thought it was great.
It wasn't a perfect show. It wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't the best Daily Show ever. But I think for his first show, he did a really great job. I was really worried that they were going to dedicate the entire show to, you know, like, oh, we miss Jon Stewart, I'm the new guy, let's, you know, keep talking about that. But it was really just like a minute where he said, like, I need to thank Jon Stewart, we're going to continue our war, because Jon Stewart always said he had a war against bull.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the other word, so I'll say bull dam.
Yep.
And then,
nice.
Thank you. So he, you know, kind of talked about that. And then he still had the correspondence on. He still followed that same A block. He talks about news stories. B block, he's got some correspondence. And then C block, he has an interview. The interview was with Kevin Hart. That was definitely the weakest part of the entire show. I don't know if that was Trevor Noah's fault necessarily or Kevin Hart's fault, rather.
Could have been Kevin James.
It was not Kevin James. I almost said Kevin James. But no, it was Kevin Hart. I don't know if Trevor Noah's just not super comfortable, you know, interviewing people yet. He is a stand-up comedian, so I'm sure interviewing's not, you know, first nature to him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll get better, though. But I don't know. Did anybody else watch it?
I watched it, and I thought it was funny.
I agree. He, you know, I saw a lot of flack when I woke up this morning. He had made a joke about AIDS last night that a ton of people were very upset about. To put the joke in reference, so he wasn't just like making fun of AIDS. He was saying that with John Boehner leaving, Congress is now like the saddest nightclub because it's just a bunch of old men. There's hardly any women, and everybody has AIDS. And the joke was a pun on. Like a
the staff.
IDE, like
the staff of congressmen,
right? Congressman's aides, and a lot of people were really not happy about that. And
that was one of the jokes that like you laugh at, but then you immediately feel bad that you laughed at.
I thought it was a funny joke. A lot of people were like, you know, they were like, he's from, and I got upset at this part because a lot of people were like, oh, he's from South Africa, he should be really sensitive to AIDS, and I was like. Just because he's from Africa doesn't mean that he, like, should, you know, stick away from AIDS jokes.
Yeah.
He made also a really great joke at the beginning. One of the few jokes he made about, like, Jon Stewart leaving, he said it was like, you know, like, Jon Stewart divorced the show and he's the new stepdad. And to make it even harder, he's the new black stepdad. So,
yeah.
You know, he was trying to, like, play lightly.
I like it.
I think looking from just this first show, I think we will see a more international, global perspective on things. He definitely seems to be leaning that way. Race also seems like an issue he's really going to be getting into. He dedicated B-Block almost entirely to, you know, water on Mars, but it actually was more of a satirical look at this idea that like black men will never be able to go to Mars because like why would they let black men go to Mars? So he seems to be going, like I said, just from the first impressions, definitely a race route with this, which I think will be interesting because Larry Wilmore, who's on immediately after him, took over for Colbert's spot.
Right.
And he was the one who was really taking on this, like, you know, hey, I'm a black guy, like doing the news in a white guy's job, like I'm going to make race my thing. Now I kind of wonder if Trevor Noah isn't also going to be doing that. And he also poked fun at the fact that he's like, you know, we offered this job to a woman. No women wanted it. So like every other job, no white men or women wanted. They gave it to an immigrant. So
yeah, I thought that was really clever too.
He was trying to keep it light, kind of poking fun at himself. And at age 31, there's bound to be some not perfect hits on, you know, not all his jokes are going to land. It's not always going to be great, but he seems like a really smart guy, and I really liked, it was easier to like him, I think, because of his enthusiasm throughout the whole show. He really was smiling the whole time. He just looked like it was like he was
happy
having
to be
fun.
There.
He did genuinely look like he was happy to be there, so I wish him all the best, and I'm going to continue to watch him.
Here's last question for you before we head to break. Jon Stewart was on there for 16 years.
Yes.
Do you think Trevor Noah can do this for 16 years?
Well,
if he's 31, that'll put him at 47.
He'd be 47. You know, I don't see why he couldn't. It's really early to tell now, but I think, you know, well, I mean, Jon Stewart was around that age when he took over. Jon Stewart's 52.
Yeah.
So he was a few years older. He was about 35 when he started, but, you know, I think,
to be fair, Jon Stewart was also a little bit more established at that point.
And Jon Stewart was also more established. I think Trevor Noah, I don't think he'll ruin The Daily Show. I think it'll be, you know, just as successful as before. I think it really serves a purpose. I think it's a really great, irreverent look at news for people who maybe are sick of watching the regular news. Will Trevor Noah go 16 years, though? That's a good question.
I want to say,
I bet he goes five.
Short answer is no, he does not.
I don't
go
think
to 16.
He'll go 16, but no. I don't think he'll be gone next year.
No,
either.
No.
I don't think that.
No, I don't think so either. We're going to take a break. Whenever we come back, we have the police blotter. From Homecoming. So.
Oh, man. Oh, we have to. Can we talk? Can we please? When we get
one of the RMU chat hosts is in it. No, that's not true.
I don't think so.
It would be Zach Loffer if it was anybody.
That's also false. We're gonna dive more into that whenever we come back. You're listening to RMU Chat and RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Campus, your voice, your Colonials. RMU Radio is the home for men's basketball.
Stewart in transition, a mini throws one down over JoJo Cooper. Put him on a poster.
Men's hockey.
Zach Lynch, he's going to go for the net. Can they make it four? He does!
And RMU football. Listen online at rmuradio.com or on the Century Media app. Your Colonials play right here on RMU Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Heather Pinson, the Department Head of Communication, and you're listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice, Ben Cole, Hannah Smith, Eddie Sheehy, I forgot your name for a second, Eddie Sheehy, Zach Laufer, Jake Hartsfeld is in the corner.
I want to know what that noise Laufer just made was.
I didn't even hear it.
Interesting sound.
Whatever that was.
Don't worry about it, it's fine.
We're all slap happy today. A little slap happy.
Does that mean I get to slap Laufer?
No.
No. Damn. It does not.
No.
I gotcha.
No. Time now for the police blotter.
I have an idea.
No.
Listen, hear me out really quick.
Okay.
Let's play an underage drinking game to the police blotter where we take an illegal underage shot for every time somebody was caught drinking underage in the police blotter.
I'm going to vote no.
I'm gonna You're going to be gone real
I'm
gonna,
fast. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote no. This
Jake in the corner is in.
Jake in the corner is not underage. He can't play.
The wagon that is this show is already off its wheels to begin with.
That's true.
So let's get started with it. But let's preface that we do not encourage or condone anything
or
that goes
partake in
anything that goes on in the police blotter. Don't be stupid.
Even though some of you are.
Unless apparently. You want to show up in the police blotter and we'll talk about you and call you stupid on the radio.
So to start with this, Hannah, this was the homecoming one. This was the one that we were looking forward to the most, but it wasn't.
It was disappointing.
It wasn't what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Last year, I mean, there was people passed out at the dance. There was peeing on the walls. I mean, it was just. It was a disappointment compared. Yeah. But
okay, so what do we got?
All right. On the 18th, underage drinking. While on patrol, an officer viewed a female urinating in the CFL3 parking lot. The female was identified as a non-student and was cited for underage drinking and public drunkenness closed.
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Yeah, can we just talk about the drawing that one of our own did for that specific one?
It's oddly sensual. Go to rmucenturymedia.com, click on the homecoming police blotter,
and look at the image we are talking about. Censored version.
It is the censored version.
The first version that he just showed us
Yeah,
was
he showed me
Loffer,
and we both stood there, like, crossed arms and went, I don't think you could put that on the internet.
I don't think that would be acceptable.
I don't think that's a good
internet.
Thing to put on the internet.
Okay, so.
So don't pee on the street.
Don't pee on the street.
Especially if you're not an RMU student.
Yeah, yeah. If you're an RMU student, go.
Still don't pee on the street.
Go out on University Boulevard.
Just not on campus.
Go play in traffic. What else you got?
All right, on the 19th, student conduct. Officers responded to Gallatin Hall after viewing someone throw an object out the window. The occupants of the room were drinking and all advised they would be sent through judicial affairs for their actions. Closed.
G-Block representing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. G-Block.
G-Block.
Why?
You didn't live in G-Block. You can't say that.
All right, fine. Whatever.
Are you a wannabe G-Block?
He's a wannabe.
I was in G-Block all the time
last
year,
nobody wants to be in G-Block.
Yeah.
So you're just representing G-Block by default?
Yeah.
No.
I was in G-Block all the time last
year. Unless you have to spend all your time there.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't count.
Fine.
So throwing things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talked about this last week. Like, people at G-Block, get your stuff together. You know, like, that's already pretty much the ghetto of dorms. Like,
yeah.
Don't make it any worse by throwing stuff out windows.
That's just not good.
I want to know what they threw out the window, because you can only open those windows like 3 inches anyways. Like,
which is kind of misleading in the picture, because isn't the picture the window all the way open?
It's not accurate.
I have no idea.
I was also wondering about the peeing one. Was the girl wearing pants? Because they drew her in wearing a dress. If she was wearing pants, that makes the peeing herself much worse.
This is something you have to go to public safety about.
Yeah.
These are the things we need to know.
This is hard-hitting journalism right here.
RMU chat at its finest.
That's what we're going to school for.
What else?
All right, on the 19th, we have public drunkenness. A student came into the police station and was visibly intoxicated. The student was cited for underage drinking, public drunkenness, and released to a parent.
Wow.
I like to think it's one of those situations where they're like,
to a parent.
They're like, I'm super drunk. I'm going to get caught. I need to go to the place they will never expect, which is the police station.
Wow. I mean, I know welfare. We always have our welfare checks in the blotter. But, you know, whenever you have mom and dad coming to pick
They got to pick you up.
I mean, there was like two or three that were released
Mom and dad had to pick you up because you walked into the police station drunk.
That's a new
one. Visibly drunk.
Wow. Proud parent.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next one we have is also public drunkenness. An officer viewed a male passed out on the hillside near Washington Way. The male was cited for public drunkenness and released to a sober friend.
That's my favorite. At least it wasn't mom and dad in this.
At least they weren't passed out in the road like other students had been.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
That's a plus. Hey, and at least there's a friend that's, you know, given a helping hand.
Hey, Ben, we just got some breaking news or breaking information from Jake Hartsfeld, a former community advisor. Is that what they called? Community assistants?
Advisor.
Community advisors.
Do you want to come out of the court and actually speak?
Yeah, do you want to say what you're...
No, he refuses
to speak.
Well,
he wanted to tell us that the reason that that person got released to their parents is because they're under 18 even.
Yikes.
So that's even worse. Like, yikes. I didn't even know people under 18 were in college.
But oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, some freshmen.
I guess some freshmen are probably 17.
Freshmen would be like 17.
Yeah, huh? There's a certain cutoff, I guess.
Shame on you kids.
Shame
all right,
on
you. I have one more.
Okay.
On the 19th, we have another public drunkenness. Mm-hmm. This department was advised of an intoxicated male drinking in Romo's Cafe. The male was cited for public drunkenness by this department and was released to a sober friend.
Closed. Papa Brewski and Romo's, and
that's funny.
Order a sandwich.
Makes that conversation with Steve all a little bit more interesting.
It would make it all the more interesting. Oh, wow. I can't even imagine feeling.
Maybe you could be on the same drunk. Level for once.
Wow. Oh, Steve is a gentleman.
Steve is a wonderful man.
He's a gentleman. He is.
Steve
he
is a wonderful
is.
Human
saying.
Being.
He's a gentleman and a scholar. Does he have a RMU radio show?
He does, yes.
Plug it.
Saturdays, 3 to 5.
The Steve from Romo's show.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Yes.
Steve from Romo's. Be there, be square. So it seems like the moral of the story of homecoming is if you're going to drink, don't do it underage. And
don't do it underage in the police station or Romo's.
Yeah.
But, hey, there's always going to be a sober friend around.
But yeah, as long as you have a sober friend around, if you're over 18, you'll be fine.
Yes.
That's got to be embarrassing for the friend, too.
Yeah,
like
the friend
has to come get you.
Yeah.
The next morning you wake up and you know you're going to have to deal with that friend who was like, I had to bail you out of campus jail.
Yeah. That's
you'd
not
have
good.
To be the babysitter that night, too, especially depending on how bad they are. Like, pulling back the hair, giving them
that's something you can
a
hold
hot
over
pocket
for a while.
To put underneath their elbow, armpit,
something.
I mean.
Yeah, under their armpit.
That's something you could hold over them for a while.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good friend.
You can find the rest of this week's police blotter
and very sensual drawings of things that happen in the police blotter
on rmucenturymedia.com. We're going to take our last break. Whenever we come back, it's sports with Zach Laufer.
Woo.
We've got football. We've got hockey. We've got a little bit more that we're going to touch on as well. The Riverhounds blew it against New York Red Bulls. I'm not sure if you saw that.
I did not.
Yes.
They blew it.
Yes. Miro blew it for everybody.
Oh, no.
And Speedy played a full 90. That's the RMU connection.
What was the score?
4-2 after extra time. I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, my goodness.
You're listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Hey, Blues fans, this is Don Luisi, host of Damn Right I Got the Blues on RMU Radio. If you want to listen to a mix of blues, R&B, jazz, and soul from classic to contemporary artists, tune into my show, Damn Right I Got the Blues, on Thursdays from 4 to 6 p.m. on RMU Radio. Damn Right I Got the Blues, where we're keeping the blues alive one bit at a time, on RMUradio.com, your campus, your voice.
Hi, this is Michael DeLauro, Director of the Academic Media Center at Robert Morris University. You're listening to RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Army Chat on Army Radio, your campus, your voice. Ben Cole, Hannah Smith, Eddie Sheehy, Zach Laufer, Jake Hartsfield in the corner.
He's in the corner.
Jared in the corner.
In the corner.
Not Jared.
Jake.
Jake.
Just Jake.
Just Jake.
Just Jake. RMU football returned to their losing ways.
Yeah.
This past weekend, South Dakota State.
South Dakota State.
Now this is again
the Jackrabbits.
The Jackrabbits of all teams, of all the nicknames in the world, we had to lose to the freaking Jackrabbits. But this is a game that we kind of expected that we were going to lose.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So coming back, it's like okay,
right? They went on the road.
Okay.
They went on the road and they performed as expected. They could not move the ball through the air. They ran the ball at will. They gained 90% of the yards on the ground. They only had 43 total passing yards through the game.
Yikes.
But they had over 200 rushing yards. So if there's one thing that they can hang their hat on is that they have a strong running game.
And that's one thing that we kind of knew going into this season, too, that, you know.
Yeah, we kind of expected the running game to be the focal point of the offense, but I did not expect the passing game to struggle slash be not as productive as it has been. They lost 34-10. At one point in the game, it was actually 14-10 after the Colonials had a nice drive, a nice 70-some yard drive, and capped off with a touchdown pass from freshman quarterback Barr to the tight end Nick Lamica, and it cut it to 14-10. That was halfway through the second quarter. But then from that point, they were outscored 20-0, capped off by three touchdowns and some ungodly amount of yards thrown by the quarterback. he was taking advantage of the secondary all game. Matt Barr left the game after halftime for an undisclosed reason. I'm going to go to practice today and find out what actually happened to Barr, see if he was injured, see if maybe they just – because all three of the healthy backup quarterbacks actually threw a pass in this game in the second half, because once Barr left the game, it was pretty much a predetermined fact that they were going to suffer the loss.
Yeah. And now we just focus more on conference play.
Yeah.
Saturday starts against Wagner on the road.
Wagner was the co-champion of the NEC last year with the other team. I can't remember who it is. And expect to see another heavy dose of Ramsey Owens and Cole Blake. Dante Satcher, even the third running back, had a career high, even though he's just a freshman, 85 yards rushing in the loss this past week. So, especially if Barr is not 100%, you can expect to see the same kind of offensive output as you did this past game.
Moving from football to ice hockey, the women just started their season. Played two games against, how do you pronounce that, Bemidji State?
I think it's Bemidji State or Bemidji. Something. It's something in Minnesota. They're always good.
Ranked number 9th in the country.
Yeah.
First game losing 1-3.
Yep.
And then coming back, winning in the shootout.
Yes.
But the big story here that I want to touch on, Zach, is Jessica Dodds, who was the starting goalkeeper in that game, was pulled eventually. After she allowed 4 goals.
I can't. What was the name of that freshman goalkeeper?
That came in after Jessica? It was Lauren Bailey.
Lauren Bailey, yes. And
now,
she came in and pitched a shutout for the rest of the game.
Yes. Now, I guess you know, we can chalk it up to Jessica probably having a bad game. But at the same time, seeing how Lauren Bailey did, this is a good problem to have for a team whenever you have two good goalkeepers.
And I think that as the season goes on, you're going to see more of a tandem rather than Dodds controlling 90% of the games and then Bailey coming in and scrap games or garbage time, I guess you could say. I think it would be more closer to 50-50. I wouldn't say 50-50, but closer to 50-50 than you might have expected.
I mean, we have to remember with ice hockey that this is a relatively long season. It goes until the end of February for the women.
Right.
And a lot of these teams, they're playing, you know, two nights in a row. So there, we very well could see Jessica in net one night. We could see Lauren in the next. Or, yes. or we could see two for Lauren, two mm-hmm. for Jessica. It just depends on what the coach wants to do that
and week. Who has the hot hand. I think that's more of, I think, what you're going to see more than rest. It's going to be who has performed the best lately.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And moving to the men, two big things coming out this week. First off, pre-sale is already underway for the Three Rivers Classic. And Army Radio will be down there on hand calling the games and covering this as such. And just like us, Century Media will be there as well.
Yep.
Who are the teams this year? It's Robert Morris, Penn State, University of Guelph, and goodness, who is the fourth? Massachusetts Lowell.
Okay, Massachusetts.
Yes. UMass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be great, especially with Penn State coming back into D1 hockey after 2 years ago, maybe, I think it was. So that should be a really good test, like it always is.
Yes.
Console, it's always a great atmosphere.
Yeah,
and we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I was down there last year, and the energy for that RMU Penn State game is just insane,
crazy,
insane. Crazy. And I'd also like to make a note, give RMU Radio a pat on the back. We're currently up for a Pinnacle Award for our play-by-play call
of that game.
Yeah, John Fisher, Kirsten Kudla, and Vince Russo were all on the call for that one. So we'll find out at the end of October if we're actually got that award. But still sticking with the men, ranked 21st in the country.
Unofficially.
Unofficially 21st. We can say that.
Because the USCHO.com poll takes 50 voters of beat writers, coaches, Associated Press writers, and ranks the teams 1 through 20. So if there would have been a 25th, 1 through 25, RMU would have been 21. They got, 63 votes, 63 points, I mean, in the – yeah, 63 points in the poll right behind number 20, Colgate, which got 129. So you got a pretty big difference.
So that's a big deal.
It's a big – yeah, it's a big deal. And if they come out strong in these first couple games, their season starts Sunday, October 11th for an exhibition against University of Guelph. So one of the teams that they'll be playing, the Three Rivers.
Yeah.
And then their official regular season schedule starts at home against – fellow AHC conference foe Air Force.
Yes.
October 16th and 17th. Yeah. So if they come out strong in those first couple games, I think you can see them crack the top 20.
I have to correct myself. University of Guelph is not who we're going to be playing in the Three Rivers Classic.
Oh.
It's actually the first team that we are going to be facing this season.
Okay. So that's where you got.
Yes,
okay.
But the Three Rivers Classic is Penn State, Robert Morris, UMass Lowell, and Clarkson. So there we go.
Okay.
On a somber note, the RMU radio community did lose the women's rowing coach this week.
Yes.
Midge McPhail passed away at the age of 50 to a lung disease caused by complications from Sorgen syndrome.
Yes. Craig Coleman, the director of athletics, actually released a statement saying, quote, Midge McPhail was an unbelievable role model for the female student athletes that she coached during her time at Robert Morris. Midge placed a high priority on teaching her student-athletes to be strong, independent women who would succeed in life. She had a tremendous impact on many of our rowing alumni, as well as our current student-athletes. It serves to remind us about what is truly important about what we do, and Midge certainly needed no such reminder, end quote.
Yeah.
So, obviously, she had a very large impact, maybe not in the sense that she affected a lot of people on the surface, but the people that knew her really had a huge benefit from knowing her.
Yeah. And our thoughts and prayers are with not only the rowing team right now, but also with Midge's family and her friends as well.
Yes. It says here that a memorial service will be held Friday at 10 a.m. at the Rogel Family Chapel for Midge. So if you – yes.
I bet that'll be nice.
Yes.
Very nice send-off for her.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for the show today. I think we had a really good one despite all the hoo-ha with that speaker.
I think it was a damn good show.
I think it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
Damn good. Damn good.
Love it.
What the damn.
I love RMU chat.
I like it.
Checks in the mail. Jack's in the mail.
Thanks, Benjamin.
Thanks.
I'm out. I'm walking out now.
Okay,
you
good.
Said that.
Good. For Zach Laufer, Eddie Sheehy, Hannah Smith, Jake Hartsfeld in the corner, you have been listening to RMU Chat on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.
Listen, young people, I'm 74 and I plan to live 60. You're 70 more. Yeah, I've been all around. I've done a few things and I spent a few nights on the floor. Everything wrong, but I never got caught, so of course I would do it all over again. I surprised many people who'd written me off years ago. Now they're way underground. Nobody asked me, but here's my advice to a young man or woman who's living this life in a world gone to hell. Nobody's safe. Do not go quietly unto your grave. Do not go quietly unto your grave. Go quiet.